There's been this turn when it comes to influencer marketing. Like, people all of a sudden were like, this isn't authentic. I don't want to see it. Like, straight up, I don't want to see a influencer in a super nice house selling me something that I don't need, getting paid for it. And people started de-influencing. Like, I see de-influencing videos all the time where it's like, you don't need this because of X, Y, and Z. And I can already see the same thing happening with AI in terms of actual creative. You do see ads from like random dropshippers, and it's like, this was not conceptualized by a human being. This was like 3 ChatGPT prompts at most. Like, what do humans like to see in their coffee cup ads? And that's what you ran with?
If you haven't yet used Motion, the creative analytics platform used by top e-com and D2C brands like Fiori, True Classic, The Farmer's Dog, Hexclad, and hundreds more to ship winning ads, here's why you should try it out. Everyone knows that the right creative is the number one lever for success with paid ads. That's how you make money. But consistently shipping new winning creative? You're going to need your media buyers and your creative teams on the same page. Right now, you're probably spending hours tiring away going back and forth between Google Sheets and your ad platforms and tools, and then spending even more time plugging it all into different decks for the rest of your team. In a perfect world, you could have an elegant way to combine visual assets and performance data so media buyers can save time and creative teams can get the details they need to make great ads all in one place. And that's where Motion comes in. In seconds, you can build powerful visual reports using data from your ad accounts. You can monitor your performance metrics and see your visual assets in the same platform. No need to go back and forth across multiple apps. You'll finally have media buyers and creative teams working together to create and scale your next big winner. If you're ready to learn how the best D2C and e-commerce brands use Motion to ship winning Meta, TikTok, and YouTube ads, book a demo today or start a free trial at motionapp.com/DTC. Even better, Motion offers a monthly subscription plan so you can dodge those annoying annual contracts. Get 50% off your first month when you use the link motionapp.com/DTC on signup. This is All Killer, No Filler. I'm Eric, and this is the D2C podcast, and I'm here with Avery. Nice to see you again, Aves. How are you?
Good, good. I don't think I've been on the podcast since before Q4. Like, I was on during.
Nice.
So I'm doing a lot better than I was the last time I was here.
Good. Probably. Oh, that's great. Well, that's lovely to hear.
I'm stressed.
Nice. Today we're talking about something we were actually just doing a big long pre-talk about some of the short form content that's going on. But we're going to talk today about short form content for social video platforms. When you say short, because I feel like I've been talking about short for the last 20 years, and short keeps getting shorter essentially. But when you say short in this context, how short are we talking about?
3 to 5 seconds.
3 to 5 seconds. That's it. Mm-hmm. It just seems like polite from the brand to be like, yes, you respect my time.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, you don't want to sit down and watch a 30-second ad. I can't even watch a 30-second video that's like curated for me and is something that I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. So I'm obviously not going to have the attention span to watch a long ad.
So, that's counterintuitive in some ways, like what we talk about on this podcast, a lot about storytelling and, you know, having your narrative and everything, like, brass tacks, like, I guess just lay out the overview of discussion as far as you see it right now with short form video content.
Totally. Yeah. I think a lot of it's about like meeting people where they are. So I think I used to put so much emphasis on a hook, which would be a hook is basically the first 3 to 5 seconds of a longer, like 30 second video. And it would be like, what can I test in the hook? How can I get people watching longer? And sometimes like I would get people watching the video longer with a good hook. And like, that's still really valuable work to do. And usually when people watch a video longer, they do tend to convert at a higher rate, like love that. But at some point I was like, oh shit. Like if people are only watching for that period of time, I'm not going to set up the video to like alley-oop myself later. I'm just going to give them everything in that period of time. Cause even if I was increasing average watch time, it was like going to maybe like 7 seconds, and I would get so excited because it was 7 seconds. So at one point I just had an epiphany where it was like, this is how people want to consume content, and this is how people are consuming content, so I might as well just kind of meet them where they are and do exactly what they're kind of asking us in a way to do, like showing us that they want that.
make the whole thing the hook. Like, the hook's the best part. It's like the top of the muffins, you know, just don't even make the bottom of the muffin anymore. Just make muffin tops from Seinfeld. Totally. I don't know if you know that one.
I actually don't, but I do like Seinfeld. This is really embarrassing. My dad watches this episode, he's going to be really upset.
Just crushing for us late millennials. But anyway, okay, very cool. So what do you do with this, with these 3 to 5 seconds? What is the, my mind instantly goes to like Edgar Wright movies, right? Where it's like, let's go down to the pot, and you just do like quick cuts of like showing of you using the product and the product being consumed. I feel like that would be a really good move. What else works?
Yeah. So I really like, I've been seeing a lot of success with it, like single frame, single piece of copy, short form videos. They've been working really well. Because again, it's like, I find this type of content works the best in top of funnel, but it's sort of this like, you're presenting everything they need to know at that stage of awareness to them in a way that's like hyper curated for that person. So some of them that I do are literally just like a single shot of the product, like panning over it with some like funny, that's kind of the biggest takeaway in a lot of verticals. Being funny in that 3 to 5 seconds is really important. Easier said than done, obviously. But catching people's attention with humor definitely works a lot easier. But I do see in some verticals, like I see this kind of content work really well in jewelry. And that kind of like quick cut, like you're just showing it with a bunch of different outfits, accessorizing in a bunch of different ways. That works really well too, because it's like giving people exactly what they want at that stage of awareness, which is just like, does this look cute? Can I wear this with multiple outfits?
And help you visualize how you'll look in it, essentially, right?
Yeah, totally. I think like video content in general is way better for contextualizing a product, because you see, unless it's like highly produced video content, but I'm usually talking about like iPhone scrappy stuff. And so that looks like you can see it, it's moving, someone's, you know, touching it, or you see how it sits on a body. So it helps make it feel a bit more like real and tangible.
Walk us through the anatomy of one of the static ads that you're talking about specifically that's worked well, like the first one you described. I guess it isn't static, you're still panning over the product.
Yeah, so that one was really interesting. I have two kind of like case studies we can talk about too. So that's one of them. And basically what I found on that account, it's like a home goods account. Mm-hmm. And so typically my assumption has been like older millennial women, kind of Gen X women, like they're the ones that I'm speaking to when I make an ad. But then I was looking into the data and I found that we're doing really well with like millennial men, like younger side of millennial men. And we never speak to them. All of our content, like all of the video content we have, contains a woman in like a nice home that's like very well decorated. It's like, that's not their experience, most likely. I have a lot of millennial male friends and it's like, that's not what I'm seeing. So I kind of clued into the fact that we weren't really advertising to them, but they were still engaging on our ads and purchasing the product. So that account, we've got a really large variety of SKUs. What I did was I like went through and I was like, which of these products, like looking at the data and also just gut feeling, which of these products would a 32-year-old guy like to see and like probably purchase? And then I knew too, like, because I only have 5 seconds, it's like, I have to make sure that the font, like I use a very like scrappy TikTok style font. Like it has to be font that they see on their like reels when they're looking at it every day. Yep. So I use that font. I use like a stupid SpongeBob audio, because I was like, these are the guys that like would have watched SpongeBob.
Yeah.
So we use like a SpongeBob themed audio. And then just kept it super short and sweet. And that video, like we doubled spend. ROAS has been like super healthy, above account averages, and it's performing really well with exactly that demo. Cause it was just a way to be like, okay, I see you guys want to engage with us. I'll give you a piece of content that like you actually want to see. And like the engagement's really high on them too. So people will just throw it a like or like throw it a comment if it's a bit funny. So yeah, that's a like good example of just like, I used everything I had in that 3 to 5 seconds that they were watching. And I was like, this is for you. This is exactly for you. You need this right now. You'll love this.
Very cool. What was the other example you brought today?
Other one is jewelry. And that one was really interesting because it was almost the opposite, where I sort of predicted the like core audience was a bit younger than it was. But then I found out it was like skewing a bit older. So skewing in that like Gen X zone. And then I really thought a lot about like the women that I actually know in that category and like what matters to them. And I was like, they don't have time. Most of them, you know, they don't have time to really like think about trends in jewelry. They're not out there like building their perfect stacker. So I made a bunch of short form videos that showed some of our top performing kind of sets in different situations. So with different outfits, so they could see kind of how they could accessorize. Like without saying it, it was like, here are some ideas. And then using copy too, that was like, this is so easy. You just buy this, you put it on. It's perfect for your girls' night. That kind of like really short form copy. And that one was quite different in that like it wasn't really scrappy feeling. I used like music that felt a bit more elevated, and the type itself was a bit more elevated and like minimalistic. Again, something that they would just organically come across and probably engage with like what they were when they were browsing around. So that was another one too, where it was like I took the data. I was looking into who are like actual consumers were, and then kind of created these like personas around them, and then just created ads that felt really like human and relatable to them.
In 3 to 5 seconds.
Yeah, in 3 to 5 seconds, because that's all they want to hear from me, which is like fine.
Which is fair, honestly. Yeah, it's I just think I think it's considerate. I think that goes a long way. So like, what are they taking over? Like, do we run these in Congress with other ads, longer formats as well? Like, I guess you said you see them really great for top of funnel. Is it then the idea that they see a longer ad after, essentially?
Yeah, I think I'm a big post-click fanatic. So I think that I know that I can convert someone who comes in on a 5-second ad that just tells a joke about SpongeBob through post-click efforts. But I think they definitely do a really good job of like feeding the funnel. And this is obviously like just specific to Meta and Instagram, because TikTok, this is the kind of content that just works everywhere. But I think that they work really well. I've got most of my accounts, like they are top of funnel spenders, and we still see some longer form content work, especially like in retargeting things that kind of spell out more about the product. But they were kind of this like missing puzzle piece for a lot of accounts.
Nice. You heard it here first, folks. If you're not, do you think there's a lot of people running them at this point, or is this still kind of early in this like micro ad trend here?
Still pretty early. Cause I think, like you said, like we as advertisers think so much about storytelling. Mm-hmm. We think so much about USPs. So even for me, like I've done a lot of work on TikTok, and it still felt really bad to be like, it's a single shot sometimes and a single piece of copy with no information about the product. So it still felt a little bit like against my like natural instinct to run that type of ad, but I don't honestly see a lot of them outside of TikTok. You see a lot of people like trying to do long form, like podcast style ads or just ads that don't look like ads and kind of trick people into watching longer. But the big aha, like takeaway is definitely like, they don't want to.
Yeah.
Don't make them. They're not going to. It's an ad. Unless it's like a paywall, they're not going to do it.
Yeah. And a lot of, you'll just get a lot more people this way, because there's a lot of people that have walled that off in their mind. As soon as they see that sponsored thing, they're out of there. And you won't ever access any of them unless you do something kind of breakthrough like this. Super neat. Is this working? Do you have any idea if the CPMs are lower? Are you, because you're buying less time? Do you know anything on that? I guess like we didn't have anything prepared ahead of time, but do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I think that could be like a tinfoil hat explanation to CPMs being longer. The like tough thing about making that judgment call is most of these like where I've launched these types of ads, they've just blown up really quickly. So it's kind of hard to know, because another thing is like they generate a ton of engagement. So they're definitely like just very quickly getting a lot of spend and really being favored by the algo. So there's, I think, a lot of reasons why costs are definitely lower, because they're also just like driving usually cheaper than average clicks too, because it's like real clickbaity like meme stuff. But I would guess that's one of the reasons. Again, it's like, yeah, one of my coworkers always says tinfoil hat, and I think that's so lame. But I would say in this situation, it's
yeah,
kind of a tinfoil hat.
Tinfoil doesn't work. I've tried. Super, super interesting. And I want to just really, I want to emphasize to people, this podcast is all about like kind of getting this kind of stuff out there. So if you haven't tried this, I really want you to, try to make a 5-second ad and run it and reach out to Eric at direct2consumer.co, Aves@pilothouse.co, Avery@pilothouse.co.
Yeah.
And let us know if it worked. Cause I think it's a super interesting one. You have another point here about hyper-personalization. This is something, it's funny, I just did a podcast with the president of Klaviyo today and an AI company with Black Crow. We were talking about hyper-personalization in CX specifically and in retention and things like that. But how do you think about hyper-personalization in creative strategy?
Totally. So I think like there's a lot of, I guess, excitement when we, especially like we work in this industry, there's a lot of excitement around AI and the type of like hyper-personalization that it gives us access to like never before. Retention is a great example where you can leverage AI to do that. I think when it comes to building a creative strategy, sometimes what happens, and it's like a good, like if you're going to go out and try a 5-second ad, I would not get ChatGPT to create that ad for you. Like you have to do the actual work of looking at this type of person and understanding this persona. I think there's like so much you can do with AI to find that person and figure out who they are. But once you get that person, you just have to start like creeping Reddit or looking at like organic posts on Instagram. Like you have to actually do the homework and understand what that person wants to see because you have such a limited amount of time. And I think something that's really interesting, I was like putting this note in and feeling very cheeky, but I feel like there's like just been this like really interesting turn when it comes to influencer marketing. Like people all of a sudden were like, this isn't authentic. I don't want to see it. Like straight up, I don't want to see a influencer in a super nice house selling me something that I don't need, getting paid for it. Like I'm just not interested in that. And people started like de-influencing, which isn't really just a trend. Like it's a full kind of movement now. Like I see de-influencing videos all the time where it's like, you don't need this because of X, Y, and Z. And I can already see the same thing happening with AI in terms of actual creative. So it's like people are already sort of like stepping out and saying like, I hate that we're getting AI to like finish art that was left unfinished on purpose, like that kind of thing. Or I saw a really good video of like someone describing your ideal cocktail, a person like a bartender who was super experienced. And also they then gave that description to AI and AI made a recipe, bartender made a recipe, the actual bartender made both recipes. And upon trying them, the like subject of the test was like, a human didn't make this recipe. Like there's no way a human being would do this. And I think you can like get that sense with ads too. Like you do see ads from like random dropshippers and it's like, this was not conceptualized by a human being. This was like 3 ChatGPT prompts at most. Like what do humans like to see in their coffee cup ads? And that's what you ran with. So I think like thinking of hyper-personalization is like doing the really human work of like, what do people like? What would I like? What's relatable?
And I think that one of your slept on points there too is just that how good ChatGPT is for digesting a bunch of information and doing the yeoman's work of writing all your different personas and, you know, and like just setting them all out and asking, you can like, hey, what would this person eat for dinner? Like you can go deep on like any one of them and you can course correct the more information you put in that you know, but just to get that kind of all laid out for you before you make the messages and kind of go that next layer deeper, I think is a really great advantage that it can provide.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you're like not doing that, you're just kind of like shooting into the night sky. Like it'd be crazy to me not to feel really confident to have like a visualized, fully realized person that I'm like making an ad for.
Yeah. It's funny. You mentioned with AI too. I had an older friend of mine send me this. He's like, I don't normally do this, but this woman is so beautiful. I had to send you this picture. And he sent me a picture. And I was just like, my brother in Christ, that is AI.
It's just like, that's so dumb.
I'm just like, so it's already happening. And, you know, we are these technophiles or whatever. So I think we will pride ourselves on being able to tell that AI glow. So I think we'll hopefully be more immune to it for the short term anyway.
Totally. Yeah. And it's like, we get so excited about it and I get so excited about it. And it's like, think about all the things I can do. And then like, it's been really eye-opening doing these short form ads. It's like, oh, what still works the best is like me going for a walk around the block, coming up with a couple funny catchphrases, putting that in a hat. Like, yeah, like you said, it's so like helpful to give you all the information you need on those personas. And then you just got to put that like that human stank on the ad and you're set.
I just thought of the one that, because we're just going to be doing some renewed effort on the acquisition side of D2C. And so I really think something like, you know, Shaun of the Dead, where you do those like really quick video montages of like getting ready to like read the newsletter. So like a coffee brewing, booting up your computer or whatever, and just like really quick. And then it's like D2C newsletter. I think we might try that. Do a good like, little 5 second ripper there. Does it work on TikTok as well? Or is this specifically a meta advice?
Yeah, it works on TikTok too. The only like tough part about TikTok is it doesn't loop an ad, which is really annoying. So on Meta, you can kind of create this experience that like, especially the one that I was referencing that just pans across the product, it feels like a loop. So even if you are like a bit slow and you don't read the full caption within the 3 to 5 seconds, it's like you still can. Where one thing that's tough on TikTok when you get really short is it just immediately shows that ad screen. So that's a little bit tough. Like it's almost better to create a long tail so that you don't get that ad screen.
Which is kind of lost inventory. Yeah, no, it makes sense. Very cool. Well, thanks for another triumphant return to the All Killer No Filler podcast. Look forward to the next one.
Thank you. This is fun.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you're not getting the D2C newsletter, you can subscribe for free at directtoconsumer.co. And if you want to learn more about Pilot House's all-killer, no-filler services, take off to pilothouse.co. I'm Eric Dick, and this has been the D2C Podcast. We'll see you next time.